1082 Free Mass, the Brian Cash Clause Coupon Book.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and buddy Big Ed Davis, as we move into fall, thank you very much for joining us on this first day of fall, Tuesday, September 22nd, I guess it is, and we're delighted to be with you this morning. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Trevor Burrus of the Cato Institute about how President Trump's current Supreme Court list differs from the last time he did this. Remember 4 years ago? Yeah, it's been 4 years since the last justice was talked about. So we'll discuss that with Trevor. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposes a law to crack down on looters and violence in the Florida, in the Sunshine State. We're going to talk about it with who else? The proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. And in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one. Might as well stay with the Supreme Court, should we not? The top 10 longest serving Supreme Court justices. The longest serving judges on the Supreme Court. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, which is located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is the best place for you guys to go to get your tresses shorn and your haircut, both. You got to call first, 727-733-3773. Then scuttle on down to the Overcash Plaza that is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. 727-733-3773. Also, while I think about it, start your day every morning with Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's the best ingredient along with your orange juice and coffee. Good Morning Clearwater. All right, well, we have got a lot of, what do you call it, judge news? I guess you could call it that. All of a sudden, it's dominating. It's even more talked about, perhaps, than the pandemic, which in a way is a good diversion, I would say. President Trump yesterday met with Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who many say is the potential front runner to fill the vacancy left by the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, the news supported widespread speculation that emerged after Ginsburg's death. Now, Trump has released a lengthy list of potential nominees, but really, it's down to two or three. And Amy is certainly one of them. There is also a judge coming out of the state of Florida that is, I guess, in the mind of a lot of people, especially down here in Florida, Barbara Lagoa. She's a Cuban-American. And it helps Trump in two ways if she is selected. First of all, it firms up the Cuban vote. Maybe it raises it a little bit more, although he's already going to get most of it. And it also helps a little bit in his capturing the state of Florida. It's a critical state. So I don't know, you know, in the long run, how many votes change because he takes a Floridian, but it can't hurt. So my money happens to be on Lagoa, but we will see. And Trump talked about it in his last rally. He almost took a poll. Well, he did ask his constituents, if you want to call it that, that were at the rally, how many of you think I should select a woman? And maybe he asked how many of you think I should select a man. I know the women, the hands went up for the woman. So it's going to be a woman. And here's what Trump had to say about the Amy Coney Barrett possibility. Getting a lot of phone calls. She has a lot of support. He says, I don't know her, but I hear she's outstanding. Trump also said he's kind of waiting to put in the nomination until the services for Justice Ginsburg have concluded, which, you know, makes sense. He thinks it will be on the weekend, Friday or Saturday. And so we'll see what happens there. Be very interesting. Very interesting. In the meantime, remember that situation with states like Nevada mailing out ballots to everybody that lived there as a citizen, whether they requested it or not? Well, the Justice Department under Trump sued Nevada for doing that. However, the judge has ruled against them. President Donald Trump's campaign failed to prove that Nevada's plan to automatically mail ballots to all registered voters will lead to massive fraud. Here's what the district judge said, James Mahan, M-A-H-A-N. The allegation is impermissibly speculative. In other words, you can't prove it. You can't prove there's going to be a lot of fraud. He went on to say, the state of Nevada has its own mechanism for deterring and prosecuting voter fraud. The only problem is the prosecution of fraud comes after the votes, which means whoever gets in is already in. What are you going to do? Go back after a year of holding people accountable for fraud and throw out the guy that was voted in? That's wild. But this ruling, apparently the latest setback for Republicans who've sued or intervened in cases across the country challenging these measures. In several cases, judges have noted that allegations of rampant fraud have not been backed up with evidence. Yeah, it's hard to prove, but you know, common sense tells you, if you just mail out ballots, you're gonna have a whole lot of people that don't get their ballots because they've moved, or other people that get the ballots of other people because they now occupy that address. And that's what happens. You want to think that people will be honest, do the right thing, correct? I think you can make a case for people that request a ballot for mail-in purposes. You can make a case for that. I don't know about making a case by just sending it out, hoping that all the people that you send it to are going to get them. That's kind of scary to me. Anyway, we are going to talk about the Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump is presently considering, and we're going to talk about how they differ from the list 4 years ago. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of
love potion number 9. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy, when you're with me. We're back, oh boy, and we're delighted to have Trevor Burrus join us. He is a research fellow at the great Cato Institute's Levy Center for Constitutional Studies. And we're going to talk about a piece that I picked up on their website, written by Ilya Shapiro, that has to do with Trump's latest list of Supreme Court justices in comparison to the list he made 4 years ago. Trevor, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much for having me.
Very, very glad to do so. And going on in the country with Donald Trump and the virus and the demonstrations. Now Justice Ginsburg passes away, and we've got one more item to kind of throw into the fire that roils things quite a bit, and it has to do with the what Donald Trump is going to do and when he is going to do it regarding his list. So he does come out with a list. We've probably got maybe two female judges that are in consideration, to be honest. But how does it compare to 4 years ago? This would be the third justice, of course, that he has nominated. But what do you think of the process so far?
Well, I think from 4 years ago, he's having already appointed two justices. I think one thing that Trump is thinking about a little bit is the selection. Clearly, even before the unfortunate passing of Justice Ginsburg, there was a pretty good bet, and we're all being honest, that she could have pass at any time. So he was thinking along the lines of women in particular. And I do think, as you pointed out, a foregone conclusion to some extent that he will choose a woman to replace Justice Ginsburg. And there's two reasons for that. One is that Justice Ginsburg was a champion of gender equality, of course, and that seat is kind of, I think, reserved for a woman now. And two, after what happened with Kavanaugh, he wants to try and choose someone who has the fewest possible skeletons in their closet. And, you know,
I think we're losing the connection.
With a judicial philosophy that is fully in line with his previous picks. But the other thing here is Trump has had a problem with middle-class women, seemingly in the polls. And of course, kind of the unexpected one that's being discussed is Barbara Lagoa from Florida, which could factor the question of where Florida goes in the upcoming election could factor into that choice.
Really? Yes, we've been kind of following, especially down here in Tampa Bay, a very, very interesting mm-hmm. situation. Now, you know, you go back. This would only be the third woman on the Supreme Court.
And it would be the fifth.
It'd be the fifth. Am I miscounting?
It would be the third right now.
Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. I'm thinking about the fact that Sandra Day O'Connor and then Justice Ginsburg, but I forgot Elena Kagan and Sandra. Please excuse me on that one. So we've got five. But is this playing into the hands of the Republicans a little bit? I mean, we've heard the Democrats, jump up and down and say, you got to wait. You know, we're only November 3rd's around the corner. You got to wait. And if you get reelected, then go ahead. And then others will say, yeah, but then you're going to have an even number of justices. And what if during all of this tumultuous voting, there are all kinds of suits like in 2000, you know, with Bush and Gore. So what do you think? Do you think Trump should...
It's a big concern.
Go ahead.
It's a big concern, and I think that right now the senators in particular need to be, you know, looking at this long-term, reading the polls. Republicans will, of course, be understandably called hypocrites if they violate the rule that they proclaimed when they held up the Merrick Garland nomination. Now, there is an argument that there's some difference there, but even aside from the merits of that argument, you know, politics perception is reality. I don't think many people will perceive that difference. It's important. And so it will seem nakedly political, which so much of this stuff is. The real concern I have is court packing in the wake of possibly putting on someone to fill this seat of Ginsburg's. And court packing to me is, it's always been the third rail of American politics, even when Franklin Delano Roosevelt proposed it in 1937, when he had essentially dictatorial control, Democrat House, Democrat Senate. His party said, no, we do not do that here. The court is untouchable. We cannot politicize the court. Of course, many people on the left think the court is nakedly politicized, whether that's correct or not. I think they overstate that case greatly. So if they go for that, they would first, of course, have to win the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and then the question of whether or not they pack the court. And then I think that we sort of jumped a shark, or whatever metaphor you want to use, of just having court packing be a part of our life. And that, to me, is an extremely upsetting situation.
I would think so. It would be awfully hard, it would seem to me. Was Roosevelt actually thinking of moving the number up to like 12? Because if it
is,
go ahead.
He was going to add one justice for every justice over 70, which quote unquote conveniently happens to be most of the conservative justices who were voting against his new deal.
Oh, of course.
It was equated to 5 at the time.
Well, you know what would happen if they did start this? They would be going up and down like a roller coaster, I think.
Yes.
They wouldn't, you know, it may go up to 11, then it come back down to 9, then it go back to 13. You know, that's what would happen, and it would be a crazy situation. And then there's talk
of... It's really unfortunate.
Go ahead. I'm sorry?
It's very unfortunate. I mean, it's sort of one of those things that I think right now, you know, we live in this rancorous political time, and everyone can blame the other party. But I just, right this time, for me, to be honest, I would just hope that some people would have more long-term health of the political health of the nation in mind than the short-term political gains. The kind of lessons that people like George Washington taught us, you know, when he did things like, you know, not run for a third term and warned us against the dangers of parties and trying to choose something because, you know, you could always, the Constitution allows many things. It's only 4,500 words long. It allows many very bad behaviors. So many of the things that have kept us a civil country are just people deciding not to do those things.
Yes, exactly.
So for both Republicans and Democrats, I hope that they would think in the long term here for the health of the court and the health of the nation.
Yes, but that's always a tricky situation. We're talking with Trevor Burrus. He is a research fellow at the Cato Institute's Levy Center for Constitutional Studies. And we're talking about the list that Donald Trump has come up with, as opposed to what he did in his last go-round with the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh. Now, the Brett Kavanaugh, that was the most contentious hearing I've ever heard. And I can remember all the way back, believe it or not, to Bork, Richard Nixon's appointment. And... But some people are saying that this, if no matter if it's a woman, if she gets a hearing, it may be as contentious. Do you believe that might occur?
I do. Not so much in the sort of same way that Kavanaugh became contentious. You know, with the, even aside from the allegations, the clear politicking strategy by Feinstein to release these allegations late. But I think that there's a very real concern, and it's, of course, nothing I endorse, but it's a very real concern of mass protests, and if not sit-ins, occupations of the Capitol building and other kinds of violence in order to stop this. And, you know, the question of whether or not you kowtow to the riotous mob, which, of course, you generally should not, but I think that that is something that we should be very, very concerned about, especially because this is Ginsburg's seat. And I don't think it very much matters to those on the left who would probably do this, that it's a woman, in good standing or anything like this. This would be seen as rank hypocrisy. I mean, coming from the left, they believe that essentially there are three illegitimate Supreme Court justices on the court. One of them is Thomas, which they've been relitigating that for quite a while. That Justice Gorsuch holds a seat that should have been filled by Barack Obama, and Justice Kavanaugh is taking it his way. And
so, yeah.
And that's what they believe, and it's hard to argue them out of that position, of course. It's just like it's hard to argue someone out of a political position, which is why when they talk about packing the court, they say it would add three justices, which would basically take back the three justices that they think are legitimate. So I'm very, very concerned about what happens if during the hearings going forward with the nomination.
What about the hearing itself and the way that she would be treated by the Democrats in the hearing? Do you think that could be as contentious?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the mob is not necessarily representative of the people. And what if we're talking about Amy Coney Barrett, which, again, I think is a safe bet. I think that her devout Catholicism was brought up by Dianne Feinstein when she was under consideration for the Seventh Circuit, where she currently sits. And of course, accused her of being dogmatic. And for people in this country who are religious, of which, you know, although it's diminishing, there's still a sizable number, this was somewhat shocking to them. And so that kind of politics, depending on how much the left wants to play up her religious commitments, could really bite them on election day. And I'm not sure who, you know, comes out ahead of this. I think that, and just for the election day, I think that perception of rank hypocrisy from Republicans will be very widely shared even amongst Republicans because they're violating the rule that they claim for Garland. And I think that will affect things. But Republican voters tend to care more about the court in most years than Democrats. So they might think that this matters more. But there's already a conservative majority on the court. So 5-4 versus 6-3 majority isn't a huge difference. And this is Ginsburg's seat. And we've seen recently just some fundraising numbers come out for Democrats that have sort of broken records just even since the night that Ginsburg died. So there's a lot more attention here the left is paying to the court than they usually have. And going back to the Trump's list, it's still interesting that Biden has issued a list in his own way, and much of this list sort of calls Biden out on diverse and things like that. But we'll see if Biden issues a list.
Yeah, and he has kind of put himself in a corner, has he not? It's got to be a black woman.
Yeah, yes. But, you know, it's that kind of stuff has been going on for a while. He has put himself in a corner. I probably, you know, I would have said something that left my options open, such as, you know, I will look for diversity and inclusion on the court, but he has painted himself in a corner.
Right. You know, a lot of this, have you heard, you know, the idea, first of all, this always, the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg does bring up the thought of changing the court from a life tenure guarantee. Because inevitably, as people get older, they slow down. A lot of the judges, you know, in the history of the Supreme Court have stepped down. And then there are others that have died in office. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg was aware of her conditions and, you know, some of the illnesses that she's had for a while. Could she have possibly just, you know, during the Barack Obama tenure, come to him and say, you know, I think this is a good time for me to step down while you have both you're in the White House, et cetera, and you can make a nomination. But she didn't do that.
Yes.
She decided to wait and try to outlast Trump in the first term.
Yes, and I think that the left has actually been complaining about that before the unfortunate death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But that kind of underscores the point here, which I think we should all be fighting for, a world where the Supreme Court matters less than it does. And so if you mentioned term limits, you know, if we had a situation, so we have justices holding on because they wanted their appointment to be by a more friendly president, and that, you know, that isn't always been the case in our history. Actually, it's only recently the case that everything is schismatic. Of course, Roe v. Wade fed into this a lot, but other things have fed into it too. And it is something, I think something needs to change. It might be time for a constitutional amendment that changes either how the court is constituted, maybe establishes some 18-year terms that are staggered, and maybe fixes the court's number at 9, so court packing cannot be, you know, sort of held over. And that's the kind of thing that I just, as I mentioned earlier, you kind of watch this last couple years, and you just would hope that sometimes people would get together, you know, maybe people from both sides, and say, what are good rules that we can both agree on? As opposed to, what rules benefit me right now? What rules don't benefit me right now? Is there a way that we can talk about what are good rules that we both can agree on and maybe turn down, you know, the fire under the kettle a bit, especially when it comes to the Supreme Court? And, of course, there's a lot of reasons. The Supreme Court, as I said, has become so contentious. The government's too big. The federalism is too much in peril. States don't have enough autonomy. All those things, and maybe we can start pulling this back and stop hating each other as much.
Indeed. Trevor, it's a real pleasure to have talked with you about this. I hope that we have a chance to have you on again. Interesting and important topic, the Supreme Court. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Trevor Burrus of the Cato Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we are going to talk about Governor Ron DeSantis and his proposal to crack down on looters and violence. And we'll talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
Oh, hold me closer, closer and closer, much closer, while the music plays.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on this first day of fall. Can you believe it already? Indeed. And we're delighted to have our proprietor of the only poll that really counts, Mainstream America, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, with us. And Andrew, I see that Governor Ron DeSantis has decided enough is enough. And he's proposing a law where anyone found guilty of throwing objects at police would be subject to a minimum six-month jail sentence. It would also impose penalties for people who block roadways, topple monuments, or even harass people. What do you think?
I think every state should put that into effect. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we put up with this how long? I mean, we haven't had much of it here, but if it does, I guess they're going to take care of business, aren't they?
Yes, I would think.
And I think most other states would love to hear laws put into effect like that.
You would think
especially
so.
Oregon, Washington, you know.
It would make sense, would it not? You know, the quickest way to stop this kind of thing, you can't. Being merciful doesn't work. It just leads to more trouble, doesn't it?
Well, you got to take care of business, okay? These people understand one thing. They're getting away with it, they're going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
You know, when they get some things slapped on them, they got to go to jail. It's going to be a whole other story. And if they should make it hard labor, not just jail.
Yes, put them out on the road.
That's right, picking up papers in the 95-degree weather, sure. That's
yes,
what they
indeed
need to do, Paul. You know, But what do you think about the Democrats going crazy? You got Obama opening up his mouth, telling Trump that, hey, you know what, you shouldn't pick a Supreme Court justice right now. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, except that is exactly what they would have done had the roles been reversed.
You know, Paul, you hear so much. It's amazing, and I don't like the sound of, you know, somebody dies, they're 87 years old, but, oh, Ginsburg was this, Ginsburg was that. You know the facts of it, Paul?
Yeah.
Ginsburg talked against the president, didn't she?
Yes.
Okay, and Supreme Court judges are supposed to do that, are they? No.
Well, let's say this. It's been protocol to keep your mouth shut, yes.
Okay. Then she openly talked about her support for abortion all the time. A judge shouldn't have done that. She was biased on the whole thing, not going by the Constitution. Okay? Mm-hmm. When she first got sick, she was what, 80? She's 87. It was what, 4 years ago, so she was 83. Okay? She's been on medication. She's been on everything. If they were worried about picking a Supreme Court judge, she should have retired when Obama was president, right?
Yeah, we just talked about that with our guest earlier, yes.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what are they talking about? She's been sick for 4 years. The clerks have been doing her job. She's not everything people are talking about. Just because she died, I'm sorry to hear it, but she wasn't all that great.
Yeah, this speaks also to the concept of having a way of getting a feeble judge off the court.
That's right.
Can we do it in a non-political way? You know what I mean? And it's hard to figure it out. Or we indeed put term limits on judges.
But Paul, you know, we talk about term limits. Well, they aren't going to do term limits. They should at least have an age limit,
right?
Like 65.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? At
yes,
least you're halfway competent. Because at 65, I see myself get a little different than I was, you know? But
yes. Well, you've gotten mellower. You've gotten mellower.
I've gotten mellower.
Yeah.
And then listen, everybody tell him Biden, you need to announce who you would pick for judge. You need to pick Michelle Obama. That'd be beautiful.
Well,
these people are crazy.
He did say that if he gets the chance, he's going to nominate a black woman.
There you go.
And who's left? Oprah Winfrey?
There you go.
Huh? I mean, who's
that'd
left
be beautiful.
After her?
Yeah, they ain't going nowhere. Paul, let me tell you, Michelle Obama's legs just as much as Hillary Clinton is. Don't let people fool you.
Okay. Now, a week from today, we will have our first debate.
Yeah, you're saying that.
The 29th. Well, I know I am. I'm presuming that Joe Biden will last until Tuesday of next week. And also have the courage to show up. And I know you think he's going to, ironically,
come down
with the COVID just prior to going on stage, right?
You got it, buddy.
That would be something. Now, maybe they would then send in Kamala Harris to replace him and do the debate. What do you think?
Well, in order for them to do that, she'd have to be the candidate. Let's be real.
Uh-huh.
How could you put her there? She's the vice president.
I know,
candidate.
But if Joe can't make it.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows what's going to happen here? This is all up in the air. I mean, we're not hearing too much about COVID now since Ginsburg passed away.
This topic has come up.
And then next week, you know, we'll hear even less about it with the debates coming up. But look at the crowd Trump had last night again. Paul, come on. The writing is on the wall, and hopefully it stays on the wall.
Well, the enthusiasm factor, there is no comparison between the two. That's for sure.
Nothing. And, you know, that's what's going to elect the president, Paul.
Yeah, you would think so. And we've talked about this, and I go back and forth a little bit. But there's no question. I think Republicans, conservatives, the pro-Trumpers, much higher percentage turnout, much higher. They're ready. They're even plotting, shall I go to the poll or shall I mail it in? You know what I mean?
It's Paul. And like I told you, I'm thinking even New York. I think this is going to be another Richard Nixon, buddy.
Wow.
But he took everything but what, one or two states?
Yes, he did. He beat McGovern in 49 out of 50, including McGovern's own state of South Dakota. That must have been embarrassing.
I mean, you know, don't think it can't happen. I really believe we're going to see a lot more happen than you can imagine. Because, you know, you'll see a Biden sign here and there, and you'll see a Trump sign here and there. Actually, you see a lot more Trump signs. Definitely vehicles on the road promoting Trump. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Flying flags and everything. And I think the enthusiasm for Trump is there, and I think the people are going to take him all the way.
That is what a lot of people are hoping, and golly, I'm just thinking about all the different factors that are going on. You've got, let's be honest, the COVID-19 has popped the balloon a little bit for Trump. I mean, it's like Herbert Hoover when the stock market crashed in 1929. They were blaming him, and he had nothing to do with it.
But you know what, Paul? Here's a good one now. You got Rick Kreisman, the mayor of St. Pete, a big diehard liberal, right?
Yes.
Now, my daughter went out to St. Pete. They went up to the pier Saturday night, and then they were hitting all the bars and nightclubs. She says, Andrew, you got to come to St. Pete. She goes, you won't believe what's going on. She goes, the people are out there. These clubs are packed with people. There's nobody wearing masks anywhere. They're not social distancing anywhere. She goes, it's unbelievable. They all got to be Trump people. They're not like you're talking about, all liberals, or they wouldn't be walking around like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, I'm telling you, there was nobody wearing masks in these places. Nobody social distancing. Now, I'm surprised with Rick Kreisman, huh?
I would think that he would want to come down hard on that concept, yeah.
Yeah, but no.
No, I mean, he's not,
Candy,
huh?
Told me. He said, you won't believe it. Yeah, I mean, you'd think him and Charlie Crist there would be making a big deal out of it.
I would think they would be, wearing their
but
masks.
They're not, Paul. They are not.
Well,
I might have to go down there just to see for myself this weekend and take pictures and put them all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, I would be a little reluctant to go into a crowd right now, you know, without a mask. I'll be honest with you. I mean, whether it's accurate or not, I think you have to be, you kind of have to play it safe. Now, as you know, I go to this get-together at this sports bar, which is within walking distance of your place, by the way. And we got to wear our masks until we get to our table. Then we can take them off, and the people that serve us, they wear masks. If we want to go to the bathroom or we want to go outside or whatever, you got to put your mask back on if you leave the table.
Now, let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
What good does that do?
Maybe nothing, but psychologically.
It don't do a thing, Paul. Hey, you walk in with a mask, you sit at your table, you take it off. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, but you like the thing, and the other thing is, if everybody else at the table takes it off, then if any one of them has it, you know.
See, we got two different phobias. You're afraid to walk into a crowd because you're thinking you're going to catch COVID. I don't walk into a crowd because of all these nuts on the loose. I don't know if someone's going to try and shoot or anything else.
Yeah.
I'm always prepared and looking them behind my back.
I know, and I understand that. And I don't know. It's just a crazy world right now. Anyway, the point being that, the two things, and I've talked about it with you before, the two things that I kind of think go against Trump are all the insults that he levies on people over and over and, sort of his personality, and the COVID. Now, those two things, but then you got the economy, which is refusing to take a dive, and everybody thinks that Trump does have a lot to do with that, and it's because of him that we've had the economy the way it is, and the enthusiasm that he garners among people because he says it and tells it like it is. So, I go back and forth, and I know you're convinced, and I tell you, if California goes for Trump, Katie, bar the door.
I'm telling you, man, you mark my words.
I know.
Think it's all going to happen.
That would really be something to see. We're going to have to see those poll numbers start to change pretty rapidly, don't you think?
Well, we'll tell by Tuesday. I ain't worried about the poll numbers, Paul.
Okay.
I'm telling you, they don't even faze me at all.
Uh-huh.
We'll see what next Tuesday brings, because I'm telling you, if he doesn't show up, they lost the election.
Wow. Well, if he does show up, I was going to say there's no guarantee. What's going to come out of his mouth other than hamana, 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 hamana?
I told you. They're going to ask him what flavor ice cream he likes from Baskin and Robbins.
Not Chris Wallace. He'll give him a couple of toughies. What flavor of ice cream?
I don't know.
He likes vanilla.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do, too. So him and I got one thing in common, I guess.
Okay. And that's about it. Hey, you're always a pleasure to talk with, Andrew. We're going to talk again about what's going on Friday. And I look forward to it.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right, sir. Thank you.
I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
The master barber himself, by the way, he's over there in the Overcash Plaza. just north of State Road 580, Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right, we're going to take our final break, and among other things, we are going to talk about the longest serving Supreme Court justices of all time.
Let them hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand neath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, you are entitled to go to our website and listen to us via podcast. Our FreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Big Ed sets up the podcast. We thank him for that. And you can go at your leisure. So do so if you can't catch us live. Well, Joe Biden today refuses to say whether or not he would pack the court, whether or not he would add justices to the current nine on the Supreme Court. Now, that to me is very interesting. Why would he not, after all of these years, have a thought about that? Well, of course, he doesn't want to say. That's number one. Number two, I don't think he really, he'd have to listen to everybody pushing him around about it. He says here, it's a legitimate question, but let me tell you why I'm not going to answer that question. Because it will shift all the focus. That's what he wants, referring, of course, to Trump. He says he never wants to talk about the issue at hand. He always tries to change the subject. Well, I don't believe Trump brought up that question of packing the court, even though Biden wants to blame him for even having the question raised. Kind of crazy. And by the way, this is kind of, to me, the kind of thing that goes unnoticed, you might say. Government debt has risen at a 59% pace in the second quarter fiscal year. Amid the efforts to halt the virus. We're throwing all kinds of money at the virus, of course. And a Federal Reserve report has shown that released yesterday, shows the total household balance sheet in the U.S. rose to nearly $119 trillion in April through June. And that's almost a 7% increase from the first quarter. And again, it's because of the virus. And the gain in the stock market also is a factor in all of that. So I guess you guys just have to, I mean, we're at close to $26 trillion in debt. I mean, it's just gotten so out of control. So out of control. It's kind of scary. And speaking of money, apparently Joe Biden is racking up more money than Trump right now. He apparently has a large financial advantage. A lot of that might have come from the former New York mayor, Ginsburg.
Bloomberg.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Mike Bloomberg.
Bloomberg. I've got Ginsburg on my mind. Bloomberg, you are correct, sir. Mike Bloomberg dumped a whole barrel full of money into
$100 million.
Yeah.
You think he, from New York, he didn't give New Yorkers any of that money?
No.
Right? They're you know, destitute and everything that's going on. And it goes right to Biden.
It goes to Biden, and maybe that's the reason that he's outdoing Trump right now when it comes to raising money. But Biden's campaign said on Sunday that it and the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, began September with $466 million in the bank. That's about $140 million more than the cash on hand for Trump and the Republican National Committee. So we'll see. Normally, you know, Republicans raise more money.
Well, so, he was at 360, I think, last month, and then with that extra $100 million, bumped him up to over four. Imagine all that money you could see where he's spending it. The commercials.
No, he and his son could go back and forth to the Ukraine many times on that kind of money.
I know, but you could see the ones that are Bloomberg commercials.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
They're the ones that actually Biden does not come out and say, you know, Joe Biden and I approve of this message.
Oh, you mean it's not
Biden?
Yeah,
they can be really hateful.
It's just they
can
Bloomberg.
You're right. They can be really hateful towards Trump, and you don't have that Biden at the back saying, I approve this message. It's just, you know, DNC or whatever, whoever it is, whatever corporation they made.
Yes.
Takes the fall.
Indeed. Okay, it is, before we go to our top 10, Ed, I want to get your thought on our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. They went into Game 2 last night in Edmonton, and they came out victors. It was kind of a good deal. In fact, the Lightning took a 3-0 lead. I think it was all three goals came in the first period.
Yep.
And what do you think? Do you think the Lightning is back?
I think they made a statement last night. I still think it may go 7. If they're lucky, 6. If they can take control of it quickly, it goes 6. But I still think it might go 7.
But you still think the Lightning will win? You're not sure?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know much about Dallas. I don't know how much they bounce back. Let's see what if they bounce back tonight, it's going to be tough. But if the Lightning continue to win again tonight, I think that they've got them. So.
Yeah, it seems like maybe they got, you know, a little bit of a, and who knows, but, you know, that first game, the Lightning had been a little tired maybe because it was only 2 days since they beat the, you know, the Islanders.
And the surprise could be that they roll out Stamkos. He is on the ice, he is working out, and he has not been ruled out for this series.
What do you think if you were the coach? Do you think you could get away with not...
I think you put him in,
leaving him out there for, you know, susceptible to getting hurt permanently.
If they go down 2-1 tomorrow night, I put him in the next game.
So it would be based on whether the Lightning can win this next game.
If you win with what you have right now, I wouldn't bust it up now. I mean, it's gotten you this far. Don't change anything now.
Yes.
If you fall behind and you're just not keeping up with the Dallas Stars, then throw that little wrinkle in there and see if that.
I got the impression, watching the game, at least in the beginning, that Dallas was trying to hurt Kucherov and a few of the other players intentional. Did you get that?
Yeah, they were going after him, no doubt. Oh, and real quickly, tonight, the Tampa Bay Rays could win the East tonight with one game. They won last night, and the Yankees lost, of course, and the magic game to win the East is now one game.
Wow. Now, who are they playing?
They're playing the Mets again tonight.
Okay. This is exciting. I think that the Rays are they have the second best record in Major League.
Yeah, they're first in the American League.
And
Chicago also lost last night, so they've now distanced themselves from a full game.
Wow, from the White Sox.
Yes.
Aha. Okay. Uh-huh. Hey, we're all excited. And then we got We got the Bucks playing good, don't we?
Got all these great teams playing good and can't go see one of them at the stadium.
I know. Isn't that frustrating? Yeah. Okay. Time for our top 10, Ed. And, of course, we've been talking Supreme Court. Why not do a top 10? So we got one. This is from Wikipedia. The top 10 longest-serving Supreme Court justices. And I will not ask you your opinion of who number one is, but I think this is kind of fun. So let's find out. Here we go. Number 10. Guy by the name of James Moore Wayne. He served from 1835 to 1867. That's a long time back then, apparently. Number 9. Guy that was around even earlier than that and served a little bit longer, Joseph Story. He came on board in 1812. By God, the War of 1812. And he went till 1845. Number 8. A little more modern, William Rehnquist is number 8. He started out 1972 all the way to 2005. All right, number 7. Another one in the not-too-distant past, William Brennan. William Brennan took the seat in 1956 all the way to July of 1990. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Number 6. John Marshall Harlan, from 1877 to 1911. So he kind of went from one century to another back then. Number 5, Hugo Black. Hugo Black. And he started out, listen to this, in 1937, and he went all the way to 1971. Pretty good. Number 4, one of the earliest, John Marshall. He was Chief Justice, and he served from 1801 to 1835. Number 3, a guy we remember, John Paul Stevens. He served from 1975 to 2010, so not too long ago. Number 2, Stephen Johnson Field. You remember him, Ed?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you would. 1863 to 1897. All right. Here we go. This is the number one longest-serving Supreme Court justice. William Douglas. Mm. William O. Douglas. And he was on the court during Roe versus Wade, by the way. He was a liberal. And he took the seat on April 17th, 1939. Mm. And he served all the way to November the 12th, 1975. That's a long, so that's like what, 36 years on the court.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
We're going to do, by the way, on Friday, the top 10 shortest serving Supreme Court
justices. You know, about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, yeah. I'm sad that she passed away. She was known for a great many things, but I got to tell you, the things that she was going through, the illness and the medication, I'm not sure. The last 2-3 years, she knew what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
And for the last year, probably didn't even know who the hell the president was. And then for the Democrats to say that, oh, she told a friend her dying wish was that they remain, they do not vote for another a judge until after the new president this morning. She happened to say that. Come on.
I know.
And then they parade that around. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like that relative that dies and everybody wants a piece of what's in their house.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, even if she did say it, think about it. She had, in the throes of death at that point.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're not the most, it's not like Hollywood where you're laying in a bed and you're very rational and then you finish the sentence and then you die.
Right.
That doesn't work that way.
That's why the will says sound mind and body.
Exactly. All right, my friends, thank you so much. We will be back on Friday. And always remember that freedom works.
Hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl, and I wanna make her mine. And she's